Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Anybody happy in the house of the Lord today? Amen. 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 Glory to God. All right. You better get happy. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Let's take our 2024 confession. Thank you for joining us in person. And for those that are virtual, thank you for being with us today. We give God praise for everything that he's doing amongst us. And we are very excited about our forthcoming anniversary, 22nd. That is that's beyond words. It's almost uncanny to think the Lord has been working with us for that long. Amen. And we praise God for all the different services under Abundant Life that are going on in different parts of the world today. We know that the presence of God is with them as well. Amen. Let's take our 2024 confession together. 2, 3, go. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. I am God's offspring. And in him I live and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind and I overcome the world. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I represent Jesus. I speak for Jesus. I stand for Jesus. I reign with Jesus. The fourth man will be with me in the fire. What happens to ordinary people may happen to me, but I will have supernatural outcomes. The fourth man has made me a god to the natural elements of this world. Situations ordinary people cannot survive will become my stepping stones to glory testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The king's shout is within me, and the lion's roar is rolling out of me. I raise the roof with my praise. I cry out and shout for joy. The greatest one lives here. I am feeding and reigning at a higher level. I have spiritual jurisdiction here. I take authority over this. Peace be still. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. This is my year of covenant release. I am under cover. No satanic plan against me, no divination against my household will ever prevail. In due season, and even now, the world will proclaim what wonders God has done for them. I am shielded and protected from every misfortune. I am undercover. The evil viper released into the world in these last days will not touch me. I am undercover. I am inoculated and vaccinated with a booster shot of the covenant. I am undercover. I am prospered, protected, and preserved in the ark. I am undercover. I shake the viper into the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I am undercover in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2024 is my year of uncommon provision. I am blessed in all things. Jehovah Jireh will see to it. I am finding favor in unexpected places. And I see the ram caught in a thicket. The barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. God is sending rain on my field and there shall be showers of blessings. I am one with God, and I possess what God possesses. I have the spirit of adoption. He is my Father, and I am a joint heir with Christ. I have real estate in heaven, and I have real estate on the earth. I lift my hand up to El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. My God has made me rich. This will be a year of broken boundaries and unlimited reach. The boundaries are broken and the limits are off. See, God has given me the cities and the walls of Jericho are falling. Hallelujah. Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things, everything is possible. Kayo de Tadeshe, I prophesy over you today. Your dwellings are lovely and your homes are beautiful. You will spread out like rivers, like gardens by a river, like sweet smelling aloes that the Lord himself planted, and like strong cedar trees by the waters. You will pour water out of your own bucket and have your own channels of rich blessing and plenty. Your offspring will dwell by many waters, and your life and legacy will be exalted and established. The God who brought you out of captivity has the strength of a wild bull, and he will destroy your adversaries and crush their bones. You are like a lion who couches in rest after winning the victory, and who dares disturb you. Blessed of the Lord is anyone who blesses you, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2024 is my year of God-class exploits, and this is the year of the fourth man. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. If you believe that, shout a living amen. Amen. Glory to God. Please be seated. Let's go together to Psalm 91. Let's start from there. I want to pick up from where I was last week, where we were talking about the supernatural life and a number of things that the Lord really did put in my heart to minister to us. Obviously, I think I may have ministered for 20, 25 minutes last Sunday because of the time, which is very unusual. I don't know how the Lord helped me do that. That must have been supernatural grace. Was it 15 minutes? 50 minutes? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Okay, the Lord helped me then. I was feeling happy. I thought it was 25. Okay. All right. Okay. How many minutes do I have today? I have actually exactly 50 minutes today. So I think last week I had... Are you counting the time of benediction? You shouldn't count that. Because that's not part of the message, right? The message is after... You have to count from after the confession. After the confession to where I said, okay, we are done now, we pray, let's do benediction. All right, thank you. Okay, let's continue to talk about the supernatural life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no other way to live than the supernatural life. Amen. Remember, I was saying last week, we live in a real world. We live in, all of us, we have a natural life. Right? You know, you slept on a bed this morning. You woke up, you showered, you prepared for church. You got in your car, you drove. We live in a natural world, right? You probably had to pay some bills this week. Amen? If there are children, you send them to school. Those of them who go on the bus, they go on the bus. Those of them you drop off, you drop them off. Right? We live in a natural world. And, you know, all of you before you came now, like I said, the women, you fix your hair, you do your makeup. Angels don't do makeup. Men, you groom, you know, you make sure you look in the mirror, you, okay, I'm good. Angels don't look in that mirror. They are spirit. They are fully spirit beings. We are spirit beings. We have a soul and we live in a body. Our spiritual experience is carried out in a natural world. Somebody said, but Pastor, that's just so elementary. Why are you going through all that? Because many times believers don't think about it that way. Believers hang up a part of their Christian minds, right? And part of our Christian minds is that we are spirit beings. We are made in the image of God, but we live in a real world. We deal with real life, real time challenges that regular human beings also deal with. Hallelujah. We are not, you know, we read Paul in that shipwreck last Sunday. You know, if the boat you are on is involved in a storm, you are also involved in the storm, right? Even though we all have a covenant with God and we are different, our stories are different, but if there's something going on in our world right now, all of us are affected by it. Political season is here. Election season, right? In just a few weeks from now, offices will be filled, president, governors, senate, you know, house, all of that. Whoever the leaders are will affect all of us. So we live in a real world. However, the other aspect of this is that there is, as a child of God, as children of God, we are also called into a supernatural life. And that supernatural life is just as real, in fact, more real than the natural life. The problem I identified to you last week, two major problems. The first one with many people, including many believers, is it's difficult to recognize that supernatural life as a thing. We almost just gloss over it as though, I guess. You know, if you talk about God being a supernatural God, a powerful God, a God who does miracles even today, a God who walks with people even today, who speaks to people today, who accompanies us everywhere we go today, people. But for many people, it doesn't feel as real as the chair they are sitting on because you can't touch it naturally. But it's like the breath. It's like the air. It's like you can't necessarily touch it, but it's more real than the chair you are sitting on. Without that air, you and I will not survive, right? The supernatural life is a thing. I really, you might wonder why is it really going through this? Just I really want to drill this in, and I'm aware that my audience is not just those of us that are here in this room, that there's so many people out there that, you know, the Lord helps us impact as well with these words. We live in a world where the natural seems so much more real to most people than the supernatural. That's why many people fail when it comes to faith. Because faith is supernatural. How much God can do for you is so way beyond how much you can do for yourself. To have confidence in that God who can do for you so much more than you can do for yourself is called faith. And to walk every day, to live your life cognizant of that reality is the supernatural life. To understand that you are a child of God, you have a covenant with God, you are no ordinary person. Like that confession says, the first couple of lines of that confession, look at it. I am God's offspring, and in him I live, and move and have my being. I am no ordinary or natural person. I am a supernatural, extraordinary being born of the seed of God himself. I have the seed of God in me. I produce after God's kind, and I overcome the world. To actually believe that everything going on in your life, God has a say in it, and God wants to be a part of it. He wants to protect you. He wants to keep you. He wants to bless you. If you have children, God wants to bless your children. If you have family, wealth, people that are close to you, God wants to make your covenant, that covenant that you have with God, he wants to make that an overflow of the blessing into those people that are close to you. It's a thing. It's really a thing. Somebody say with me, the supernatural life is a thing. It really is. And I want to drill into it. I want to drill deep into it. Of course, everything we minister most of the time has to do with that. Now, I want you to see some of the benefits of this, because when you live with that realization of God being your father and God being with you, and you see that permeating through every area of your life, life actually becomes a breeze. Like, if you operate by God's instructions in your family, in your marriage, in your relationships, in your business, in your career, if you operate by God's word, God's presence can actually bless that marriage. God's presence can bless that family. Your family can be stand out. Your children can be stand out. Your life can be stand out in your world. Amen. You don't go around with a chip on your shoulder because you are trying to prove something. No, you go around with the presence of the Almighty God because he is with you and he's up to something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So in this supernatural life, God is with you. Let's read Psalm 91. I've told you before, a few weeks ago, this Psalm 91 took on a totally different relevance and significance to me personally. And you know what? I mean, it's one of the most popular psalms. We probably all know it. But I want you to read, every time you read, I want you to read it differently. Amen. It's a psalm that promises you the supernatural presence of God and the supernatural covering of God. The supernatural blessings of God. Amen. Amen. Wherever you are. You may feel stranded on an island. We'll read about an island in just a minute. You may feel cast somewhere. You don't even understand what's going on, where you are going from here. You may feel like you don't have full control over everything going on in your life right now. But hear me. If you will prioritize the supernatural in your life, if you will prioritize your relationship with God and esteem it more than you have esteemed it before, and you begin to walk closer with him, you begin to walk, you listen to him every day, you fellowship with him, you acknowledge his presence, you listen to his instructions before you make decisions, you go where he tells you to go, you do what he tells you to do, even though you still have a natural life, even though you are living a fully natural life, if you would prioritize that supernatural experience, my friends, your life will be different. Every area of your life will be different. Every. So some people think, like, in order, so the first one, the first error is many people think that supernatural life is not so real. I've just told you now. It is very real, and I'm sure many of you listening to me today, you know that. But the other error that many people deal with is, which is really more, is the more challenging thing, is they feel like, okay, I don't know, how do I combine both? The real hard work is being able to live that supernatural life, that reality, and yet being able to live in this natural world with everything that is expected of you. The real work is being able to draw the line between when you are living, just doing your usual thing, common sense like we do every day, and being able to sense the supernatural coming at work, coming into play, and then listening to that supernatural voice and living that supernatural life in spite of what your natural life tells you to do. That is the hard work for many people. Sickness is real. There are all sorts of sicknesses that are coming into the world, and they will keep coming. They've been from the very beginning, from the time of the fall, since Adam and Eve. That door was open. Sickness is real. And every day, new sicknesses are being released into the world. But as a child of God, you have a covenant with God. Part of your supernatural reality is that you can live in divine health. You can live in divine health. That is, sometimes sickness may come, but with your supernatural help, God's help, you can overcome sickness and you can live in divine health. That's why we call it supernatural. It is above natural. Amen. Amen. That's your health. Financially, the resources you need for life. We live in a real world. Your paycheck or whatever resources are available to you, that's really all you have to work with. That's natural. But you also have to understand that there is a supernatural reality where your finances are concerned, where God can give you more than what you regularly get in your paycheck. And sometimes the more that God gives you is not in money or material things. Sometimes it's a favor that pays way beyond. Like I said to you last week, you better have a 10-year plan. Those of you who are parents, you better think from time to time and present before the Lord how we're sending our children to school, to college, all of that stuff. Those should be things that you are putting before the Lord. And somebody said to me one time, but Pastor, but I don't have the means. How can I even think about it? That the more reason why you should put it before the Lord, because you don't have the means. You should put that plan before the Lord. I remember many years ago, one dear brother, you've heard me say this here before. Many years ago, I was a very young, maybe, I don't know, 30-something, 40-something-year-old man. Our kids were not yet, they were not yet ready for college. And this dear brother, out of their concern, he also was raising kids that were about the age of our children. And, you know, obviously he had made college plans and all of that. We wanted to make college plans. We didn't even have food to put on the table, let alone, you know, putting some money aside in an account for college, right? However, we never lost sight of the plan that we had for our children to have the best education possible. We always put it before the Lord, right? Where children go to school, that's something that parents have to decide. You know, you pray, you let the Lord lead you, you decide that. However, the most important thing is that they get a good quality education. And for us, it seemed like a far-fetched reality, like it would never happen. And I remember that dear brother, out of concern, asked me then, years ago, truly he had a reason to ask me. He said, Pastor, do you have a college fund? I said, college fund. I said, we don't even have food. We don't eat 2 square meals a day. I said, but at this I'm going to tell you, God has it taken care of. God has it taken care of. My friends, God had it taken care of. He had it taken care of. We were not irresponsible. We had a plan, we just didn't have means. That's our natural experience. But we believe in the supernatural. We did. We still do in every area of life. Right? So I haven't read the Bible yet, I better read. Glory to God, I've been talking, running my mouth. Let's read the Bible. I mean, I know I've been talking the Bible, but I haven't actually read. The supernatural life is real. I just want us to drill that down. Because the more you recognize that, the more confident you are in that, the happier you will be, the more full of joy. God said, I have a plan. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, my friends. They are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. The more the reality of that supernatural life, the more it dawns on you, my friends, the more full of joy you will be. You know what? You see us jumping all the time, happy all the time, bouncing all the time. You know, it's the supernatural. Truly, that's all it is. That's all it is. I've been jumping all around and bouncing all around for almost 40 years in the ministry. I've not had a down day yet. Not once. Hallelujah. Not once. And I know there were times when I couldn't even buy a bottle of Coke. I did not even have the money to buy a bottle of Coke. I know there was a time we were discharged, forcibly discharged from the hospital when they suddenly realized, my wife was on admission. She was having all this crazy stuff with pregnancy and all that. And they needed to keep her there for all the different reasons, IV fluids, all of that good stuff. And they did. They, gave her a good room, blah, blah, blah. And then the day we started talking money, and they found out, he's a poor pastor, doesn't have money to pay. And there were wealthy customers. There were wealthy patients, very wealthy in northern Nigeria, that were knocking on the doors of the hospital. Finally, I remember the director of the hospital came to me and said, Pastor, we're going to have to let you guys go home so you can continue this at home. Because we have other people that need to take these beds, and they can pay. You can pay. Right? And I remember they forcibly discharged us, but even to get money to get a cab to get the pregnant wife home that day, I didn't have that money. So I told her, I said, sit down in the reception. She sat down there in the reception waiting, and I went out, prayed in the spirit a little bit. I went out to the street. I just found myself walking up the street. She was sitting down waiting for me in the reception. I didn't know what to do. I just kept going on the street, just walking up to the junction. There's a major junction. So I remember I finally got up to the junction there on the street, and I saw a cab. And I told him, I said, hey, my wife is in the hospital. I need you. We live over there in Marafa Estate. It's going to be. He said, yeah, no, I'll take you. I said, well, we have to go all the way down to the hospital. So he took me. We went down to the hospital. I never said a word about money. We got there, we dragged Pastor Tinu into the car, she and her big tummy, and we put her, settled her in. I sat down comfortably in front. The taxi man, the cab man took us. When we arrived at our home, we got out of the car, and he's waiting for money. I said, listen. I don't know what you call that, but that was the wisdom of God. That was the wisdom. I didn't plan it in my mind. I told you, I just prayed in the spirit, started walking up the street, saw this cab, I told him, okay, this is where we're going. I never mentioned money. He never told me how much. I said, we got in the car. When we got home then, he said, where's the money? So I made sure I got Pastor Tino into the house first, and I came back. I said, listen, I don't have any money right now. I said, but I'm a pastor. I said, this right here, that's my house. I had a gold wristwatch. Somebody, I'm not sure if it was a wedding present or something. I said, I'll give you this gold wristwatch. Hold on to it. Come back next week Monday. I will have the money for you. He said, I don't want your wristwatch. He said, I'll come back on Monday to get my money. I said, okay. Surely he showed up on Monday, and I had his money ready. Glory to God. That's how we got home. No crying, no stressing, no. The supernatural works. Many times, I think the reason people struggle a lot is they are so bound by what they know in the natural They are so bound by the reality of what they can see, what they can hear, what they can feel in real time many times that the supernatural just feels so distant. No, the supernatural is real. It's right here, right now. So real. So real. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes I think about God's supernatural work and I stop and I start laughing. There's so many things God can do for you. I mean, that will blow your mind. That will blow your mind. Hallelujah. That you cannot even think of. I want this supernatural life to be real for you. I want it to be real. It's already real, but I want you to take it in. Earlier during the offering message, we heard about being strong in the Lord. I want you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want you to be confident in God. I want you to develop a stronger relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is with you. The wisdom of God is real. The Holy Spirit can teach you how to talk. The Holy Spirit can teach you how to think. The Holy Spirit will teach you, it will grant you grace so that the fruit of the Spirit will emanate out of your life, right? You can live in forgiveness. You can walk in love. You can have faith. All of this is the supernatural life. Amen. You don't have to allow the devil to put you under pressure, right? Like, make you think based on what you see and what you feel and what is around you. Make you feel like your world is collapsing. You are on an island and there is no way out of that. That's a lie. You are a child of God. Let's read the Bible. I could talk forever. You know that. Let's read Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Are you feeling this thing already? I say, are you feeling it already? Are you feeling that supernatural? I'm pushing it. Are you feeling it? All right. I feel it for you. Let's go, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a real thing. It's a real thing. To dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that's a real thing. Why is it called a secret place? What is a secret? What is secret? Secret is something that most people don't know about. We call it a secret because at least one person knows, but majority don't. It's a secret because at the very least, one person is aware. You know when you tell your friend, "Hey, brother, let's keep a secret together, right? This thing I'm telling you, you must not tell your wife. You must not tell anybody. Don't tell your closest friends, right?" So that means we know this secret, but all the other people around us don't know. So what is this secret place? It's part of what I'm talking to you about this morning. We know it. It certainly exists. My friends, if all you have is the ability to live a natural life and survive based on what is available in this natural world, the devil will eat you for breakfast. The devil will wipe your slate clean every day, every time. If all you have access to is what we can feel, what we can touch, what we can see, if that's the center of your life, the devil will finish you. But there are some secret things. Hallelujah. There are some secret things. Hallelujah. There is a secret place. Oh, glory to God. There's a secret place where you as a child of God get together with your Heavenly Father. There's some secret discussions you have with Him. There are some secret plans that He has for you. There are some secret arrangements He has already made for you. Nobody is aware of. He knows them. Hallelujah. There's a secret place. There's a secret place. And some people know. They know the way into that secret place. When you know the way into the secret place of God, my friends, your life is a breeze. See what he says? He that dwelleth Not he that visiteth. Not he that visiteth. He that dwelleth. That is, I have resident permit in that secret place. There's a corner there that's for me. My name is on it. When I go in there, God recognizes I'm here. There's a secret place between us. In there we talk. We bare our hearts. In there we plan. In there, sometimes we weep, we worship, we praise. But in there, we receive grace and confidence and strength and ability. There, we receive wisdom for what we have ahead of us today and next week and next month. There, we receive preparations over things that are still ahead that nobody is aware of. A lot of things happen in the secret place. And when we come out of that secret place, look at what the Bible says. You will abide under the shadow of the Almighty God. That is, all these storms and all these hurricanes of life that every human being has to deal with, you will be under the shadow of the Almighty God. Because you dwell in the secret place, you are covered. You are covered. I'm under cover. I'm under cover. That's every other promise in Psalm 91 is a result of you dwelling in the secret place and being under the covering of his shadow. Every promise. No matter the attack, no matter the pestilence, no matter the difficulties of life, of this natural life that all of us have to deal with, you are under cover. You are under cover. But there's that secret place. You and the Holy Spirit, you get together. You must prioritize your interaction, your relationship with the Holy Spirit. My friends, your Holy Spirit must be your closest companion. You must talk to him like he's sitting right next to you every day. Before you make a move, Holy Spirit, I ask for your wisdom. Show me what I'm not seeing. Help me. I feel weak and vulnerable with this difficulty. I don't know how to handle it. Show me. Show me. This mountain it seems so big. I don't know. How do I climb it? Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Secret place. And as you do, and as you acknowledge him, and as you fellowship, you walk with him regularly, many things he can't show you, because there's sometimes, oh hallelujah, sometimes your eyes just pop open suddenly and you go, wow. Because I didn't know that was there. I had no idea. But guess who did? The Holy Spirit knew all along. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has not yet entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But these things, the Bible says, are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. They are revealed to us through our relationship with God in the secret place. Because he's the one who searches. Who can, he says this there, I'm not sure, verse 10 or 11. For who can know the mind of a man or the things of a man save the spirit of that man? In the same way, who can know the things of God save the spirit of God? Right? And we're not talking about natural. You see, it makes a distinction. We are not talking about natural things that the natural mind can comprehend. We are talking about supernatural. Supernatural. And he said, we don't even speak. Let's read that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 6, 9. Let's read those verses down. I'll come back to Psalm 91. I promise you I'll stop by 1 o'clock. Wherever I get to. Or around 1 o'clock. Thereabout. Like a few minutes after. But as it is written, watch this. I has not seen, nor ear heard, Neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Let me expatiate on this a little bit. There are so many things about your life right now that God has already prepared for your future that you have no clue about. They have not even entered into your mind. You have no idea. This is one of the reasons why it is so important that we learn to walk with God every day. We learn to hear his voice. You must, as a child of God, you must know how to recognize the voice of God. There are just too many voices in the world. You must know how to recognize the voice of God. We can't afford to play a trial and error. We can't afford, let me try this, let's see if it works. No, you must know the voice of God. And sometimes because we are so limited, sometimes we are limited in how much of that voice we can actually hear, but we can hear the next steps usually. And once you hear the next step, don't worry about the rest of it. Because sometimes we can't handle the specific details. But when you hear the voice of God and you know the next steps and you know the next things he wants you, maybe where you are today, he just wants you just live a good, just be a good husband or be a good wife or be a good father or be a good mother or be a good professional or be a whatever. Just, and the Lord will show you how to, maybe you are agitated about, like, I'm not satisfied, I'm not there. And the Lord, don't worry, just be there. I'm working on something because I have not seen, ear has not heard. Neither has entered into the heart of the things that God has prepared for them that love him. I want you to know God is always working on things for you. God is always arranging a better future for you. This is why you cannot afford to fret. You can't afford, you cannot be, afford to be unsettled. No, don't be unsettled. No matter what you heard. No matter what you've seen. No matter what, do not be unsettled. Be confident. We heard that during the offering today. Be confident in God. Be confident. Be confident. Go on to the next verse 10. Hallelujah. It says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now listen to this now. Hear this. The deep things of God, a lot of times, are too difficult for you and me to handle. We can't handle it. We can't handle it. The depth of your relationship with God and the depth of your intimacy with God many times actually determines the depth of what can be revealed to you. This is why a lot of times people who are so carried away by the natural all the time, what they see, what they hear, what they feel, what they touch, it's very difficult for them many times. Have you found that they are usually the most difficult to get to believe, to have faith? Like Thomas. So unless I touch it, I'm not going to believe it. Right? When people are so natural, what was it with Thomas? Unless I touch it, I can't believe it. Even though they were telling him, Jesus came. Jesus rose from him. He said, no, unless I touch it, I will not believe. That's natural. That's natural. You and I cannot afford to live like that. You can't afford to live like that. And that's why you have to be close to the word of God. Every child of God, you must have a routine, regime for being in the word. Hallelujah. If your church doesn't teach the word, the adulterated word of, get out of there. I don't know what you're doing there. Church is not about numbers. It's not about size. It's not about complexion. It's not about money. It's not. No, church is about learning to get close to God and being an expression of God in a corrupt world. That's it. That's what church is. If your church does not teach you the word, the pure unadulterated word of God, like we are ministering this morning, get out of there. That pure unadulterated word will teach you how to raise your children. That pure and adulterated word will teach you how to get over in life when difficulties come. That pure and adulterated word will put you over when it looks like your world is going to collapse. Everything is on. The pure and adulterated word will show you the way that God has made where there seems to be no way. You've got to get the word. And on a regular basis, you've got to get around the word. You've got to get around. You've got to get yours. Because the word is the only tool that the Holy Spirit can use to reveal the secret things of God to you. Hear that? That's a revelation from heaven. The word of God is the only tool that the Holy Spirit can use to reveal to you the deep and secret things of God. Your depth in that word is the limit. That's what caps. You've heard when people say there's a cap. You can't go beyond a certain cap. What caps you in life is your depth in the word. Because your mind can only rise to the level of the exposure that it has received in the word of God. If I ask somebody today, do you believe God can raise the dead? Do you believe God can heal your sick body? Do you believe God can supernaturally pay this bill that has been staring you in the face for 6 months now and you don't know how to pay it? Do you believe that? What each person will respond, how each person will respond in their heart will be dependent on how much they have experienced God in the word. In the word. I will readily say to you, just like I've been saying all day in this service, I say, what is that? Forget it, that's nothing. You may even get to the point where the bill needs to be paid, and I can tell you now, I've experienced that so many times, but I've also learned, right? God has to walk through people or through a system. Systems are made up of people. So we may be past the deadline, and we may be past when we need to have that miracle and we don't seem to have it. When you have tasted the supernatural life of God, you can relax. Because in the natural, you are past the deadline, but God is still working. All you need to do is find a way to get through that. Find a way to get through that. You know, I remember somebody came and handed me this seed, whatever. And I thought we needed that seed 3 months ago. This person brought that seed 3 months later. And I'm wondering, and the Lord said to me, I told him 3 months ago, but he was struggling. It took three months for him to obey and give that seed. You remember when Daniel said he was praying and the angel came and told him, said, the day you prayed, I heard. But it took 21 days. Why? He said, because the prince of Persia in the heavenlies, they were waging war, stopping. Do you know, these things that God has prepared for them that love him, these things that God has prepared, they are there already. There are so many forces trying to stop them from coming into manifestation. So many forces. Some of those forces are even within you. All those forces are not on the outside. A lot of those forces are actually within you. Your struggle to believe, your willingness to obey God, your willingness to trust God, to say, God's got me. God's got me. I fear no evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even then I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. God's got me. I'm confident God's got me. So I don't lose sleep. It took 3 months. 3 months. Do you know, systems of the world and peoples of the world. You know, there are things that God has prepared for you. It sometimes takes a bit longer because he has to walk through people sometimes. He has to walk through systems sometimes. And some there are some resistance. And many times he has to walk through spiritual bondages and resistances too. Hallelujah. I'm telling you some deep stuff this morning. You don't have to pay me for it, but you remember in a year from now, you say, God bless, Pastor. God bless, Pastor. Some deep stuff that can help you. Make your life a breeze. So you can rest. You can have peace. Let's read further. Our time is almost gone. It's almost, oh my goodness, almost 1 o'clock. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. And that's where I stopped and kind of went on a rabbit trail. Let's move on to the next verse. Here. For what man or woman can know the things of a man or woman save the spirit of the man or woman that is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man or woman but the Spirit of God. There are things that only God knows. There is secret. There are things that only God knows. There is secret. There is only one way God can get those secrets to you. It's through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will only use his word. You see why it's important that we're close to the Holy Spirit? You see why it's important that we're close to the word of God? Because we're really limited. Someone said, Pastor, but I don't see the use of these deep things. Let me tell you the use of these deep things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is our natural minds are so limited. Oftentimes, we will mess things up because our minds are so limited. The ways we can come up with to move forward in life, to achieve goals in life, they are all rooted in natural thinking. And our minds are so limited that if we lean on those minds all the time alone, then we limit what God can do. I know that one of the stories that, I mean, every time this comes back over, let me tell you, there's nothing the Lord can do. If you're working closely with God and God hasn't done something yet that you've been talking to him about, just don't worry about it. Just chill. Don't even think about it. There's nothing God can do. That problem, that situation, that is not beyond the power of God. Nothing. There's nothing God can do. If you have been praying, you've been walking with the Lord, you've been doing everything you know, and it doesn't seem like you are getting a breakthrough, but you know you are doing everything that God tells you, God, and the breakthrough doesn't seem to become, just chill. Just relax. Just live a good life. Just enjoy your life. Amen. Amen. Go shopping. Deaconess Barbara, go shopping in Columbus or somewhere. Just live a good life. Just be happy. Don't be uptight. Don't be frustrated. Right? Just be happy. Be at peace. And trust God. And trust God. You know, every time I remember this story, it amazes me. I mean, it's truly amazing. I mean, this is real life. Real life. Happened on this property right here. One fall, November night it was. Very bad winter we had. All trees were collapsing. Things were breaking down. All sorts of crazy things were going on this property. It was horrible. We got out, came out in the morning and saw things bad. Light, electricity was gone. Everything was, it was horrible. It was horrible. And, you know, of course, I came into the office and started making calls for people that will help us fix stuff and all of that. And I engaged with those people. I left the office. I wanted to just pray for a little bit and be quiet. I was going to go into the sanctuary from the lounge. But then I decided, you know what, now I'm just going to stay in my office and pray.
So I stayed in my office and prayed. And while I was praying, maybe about 5 minutes into the prayer, bam, 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 there was a knock on the door. Here comes this person. I opened the door. Remember, everywhere is dark. Even the light, I couldn't see light, nothing. Here comes this person. They said, hello, I'm looking for so-and-so. I said, that's me. Yeah, the pastor of this church here. I said, that's me. He said, I came from the government. I have a few questions to ask you. I said, okay. I pulled them a chair. He sat across the table. I sat on the other side of the table. Remember, there's no light. Everywhere is damaged. There's trees falling. There's also some crazy things happening. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. This supernatural, you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to learn to walk in the supernatural. These things that God has prepared for them that love him, my friends. And we sat down and started asking me about a situation, something that we had put in an application for that involved one of our ministers. And I had no idea this person was coming. I had no idea. I was not prepared. I was nothing. You know, when you have interviews, you prepare, right? You know, you get ready. You have all your points. I had nothing. You know what the preparation was? The storm that blew everything down. Hallelujah! That was the preparation. The storm blew down all the trees. It took the light. It blew everything off. That was all the preparation. Meanwhile, when I came out that morning, I saw everything down, and in my mind was going to, oh, now we have to pay for someone to come and, you know, cut trees. We have to get electric company to come and so, you know, all this, that's where my mind went. But the supernatural. And so this person started asking all these questions that I had not prepared for, but which God had prepared for. And I just simply said, the answer to your question, officer, I called her name because she introduced herself to me. I said, the answer to your questions is in what you are seeing me, because as I'm talking to her, my phone is ringing off the hook, right? There's the person who's coming to fix this. There's the person who's coming to measure this. There's the person who said, I said, that's the answer. I said, and of course, I'll pick the call, and one of the people said, I'm outside. Can you call? I said, I'm in a meeting right now with someone from the government, but I'll be there in just a few minutes. And then she said, no, you go. I said, don't worry, go deal with them. And I went, and by the time she was sitting down there in that lounge, and when I came back, she said, it's okay, I got all my answers. God approved the application. It's supernatural. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not yet entered into the heart of man, right? So we are so limited. I want this. I'm going to close in a minute. It's almost 1 o'clock. I'm going to close. We didn't go far in Psalm 91, but that's what happens when you're ministering the word. You know, time just goes. And I don't even have notes this morning. I'm just talking to you from my spirit. But look at it. Let's go to that next. Let's go on. Let's just finish this and then let's close today. What man knows, and we've read this, let's go to, is that verse 11? Yeah, let's go to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? So that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look, your ability to know the things that are freely given to you by God are entirely dependent on your connection to the Holy Spirit. Can you read this from the Word of God? It's right there. It's very clear. But we have received not the spirit of the world. We don't have the spirit of the world. We live in a natural world, but we are not led by this world. We don't. We are not led. We don't make decisions. We don't follow. We don't. Our trust. Somebody say, my trust is in God. Say, my trust is in God. I trust God. I trust God. Say this. I trust God with everything in my life. I trust God with my life. I trust God with my family. I trust God with my children. I trust God with my future. I trust God with my children's children. I trust God with my finances. I trust God with my ministry. I trust God with my business. I trust God with every area of my life. I trust God. I'm confident in God. I'm very confident. We have not received the spirit of a world. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God. We have the spirit that is of God. Why? So that we might know the things. These things he's talking about here are the same things he was talking about in verse 9. When he said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things. Do you remember verse 9? That's exact. These same things. They say, eye has not seen, ear has not seen. That means you can't imagine it. You can't think, you can't figure it out. But he says, we have received the spirit, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us by God. So every day, that Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to show you some things. He's going to give you wisdom. There's somebody you want to talk to. He's going to show you how to talk to them. There are some things that you need to do. He's going to tell you. He's going to put you in the right place. Your job is to just be there, be close to him, yield to him, learn to hear his voice. Sometimes, you know, I gave you this example. I don't know if you picked it. I said, I was going to go and pray in the sanctuary. I said, I was going to go and pray. It's prayer. Prayer was not bad. But even where you pray matters. Because if I had been praying in the sanctuary and all the lights were down, the doors were locked, I would not have heard that person when they knocked on my door. Yielding, just looking inside, checking. Don't say, no, it doesn't matter. People who say it doesn't matter, they are always victims. People who say it doesn't matter will always be victims. It matters. It does matter. It can make a major difference between your prosperity and your poverty. Your ability to hear the voice of God. It can make a major difference. Remember one preacher one time was saying, you know, somebody told him to invest in something way back in New Orleans. All he needed to do was give $1,000. A $1,000 investment, which he had loads of money. He said, thought about it. No, I'm not doing that. No, he looked at it. I'm not doing that. What is that? No, I'm not. Some other people joined that investment. He didn't even pray about it. He did not even pray about it. Some other people joined that investment. $1,000 became $1,000,000 just a few years after, because the government wanted to buy that property and the government was willing to pay anybody anything. Just $1,000. It would not have cost him anything. He did not even pray about it. He just used his head. No, I won't do that. I don't think I want to. Fear sometimes. Fear holds people in bondage. People can't take risks. Do you know why people can't take risks? They can't step out. You know why many times? They are afraid. There are things that God has prepared for them. It requires faith. You have to. If you are not going to step out in faith, you will never receive the things God has for you. You will never do it. I'm telling you right now, this church would not even exist. This ministry would not even be here if there was no faith. Faith! Everything rides on faith in the word of God. I'm telling you right now. Just the ability to step out, to believe God. To do something that you feel uncomfortable with in your mind. Stand to your feet. We got to close. It's the secret place. When you and the Lord get together in your secret place. When you talk about it. When you ask God, Lord, what's your mind about this? Lord, what are you saying about this? My mind is struggling, but I don't know. What are you saying, Lord? And you give it some time. Maybe you don't hear anything for a few days. Just keep praying, keep talking to the Lord, keep, you know, just keep waiting. And then one day there's a stirring, or the Lord directs you one way or the other and say, do this, you go do it. And it will make all the difference in the world. Listen, we live in a natural world, but we are supernatural people, folks. We're supernatural. We're supernatural. What eye has not seen, my friends. So you and I, we cannot afford to be bound in life by what eyes have seen. What eyes have seen is way below what God has prepared. What eyes have seen, what ears have heard, what has entered into the heart of man is way below what God has prepared. So how then can we allow ourselves to be limited by that? Why should we? People are so into, but they said this, and look at the statistics and look at the data. What? What? The world was not created by statistics or data. Everything you see today was not created by statistics or data. All I'm trying to say to you, the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to get to you as we close today. And I want you just press into God, whichever way you want to. Everyone, whether you are here in person or you're online, just press into God, my friends. There's a higher place. There's a higher place, my friends. We just need the ability. We just need media. We need media to just allow us to get into that higher place. But we are not limited by anything around us. We are not limited by what we have. We're not limited by what we see, what we hear. We're not limited by who we know. No, 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 no. There are great things that God has prepared for them that love Him. There are great things. You love Him, don't you? I said you love Him, don't you? I want you to press into God. I want you to press into Him for the things that have been prepared for you, and just tell the Lord, 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 I yearn for you. I open up my life to you. I open up my heart to you to know more of you, to Lord, to be closer to you than I've ever been, in the name of Jesus. Lord, to be able to get into the secret place to hear your voice. Lord, to be able to get into the secret place to see your hands, to be able to get into the secret place, Father God, to hear this, to see the stirrings of the Holy Spirit, to be able to get into the secret place to know the steps to take. Lord God, that's my heart desire. That's my yearning. That's my longing, Father. I open up everything about me to you. Lord, if there's any area of my life, disobedience or stubbornness or lack of faith or lack of willingness to trust, to step out, God, whatever is a hindrance, God, to what you seek to do in my life, in my future, I judge it and I put it away from me right now. I will walk in obedience. I will walk in trust in God. I'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'll be confident in God. I'll be confident in God. I'll walk by faith and not by sight. I'll go where you send me. I'll do what you tell me. Father God, I yield to your Holy Spirit every day, every hour, every minute, in the name of Jesus. I receive grace to be everything you created me to be, to walk in the fullness of my covenant with you, oh God, in the name of Jesus, so that the things that eyes have not seen, and the things that ears have not heard, and the things that have not yet entered into the heart of man, I can walk fully into the fullness of those things. And I give you the glory and I give you the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's close this service. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord for whatever the Lord's ministered to you today. Thank Him. Say, Lord, I receive it. I thank you for speaking that word to me. I take it in faith in the name of Jesus. I'm running with it. I'm believing you, God, for greater. I'm believing you for greater, greater, greater than anything I've ever experienced. Greater than anything I've ever seen in every area of my life, oh God. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I give you the praise, oh God. I give you the praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Now begin to thank him. Begin to thank him for the good things he has prepared for you. Oh, for the future, the blessings of your family, the blessings of your destiny, your career, your ministry, your business, your finances, your health, the things that matter to you. Thank him. Begin to thank him for the things that God has prepared for you. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Oh, hallelujah. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.